Let me say thank you to a few people. Thank you to those who have gotten us this far. And here's what I mean. This campus ministry, 1 year from now, will have existed for 50 years. Woo! Right? Amen, right? Thank you to those who have gotten us this far, that have left a legacy of love that has impacted, I think, the world. And I think if we did enough homework, we could figure that out, the way that this church and this campus ministry has impacted the world. So thank you for those of us who have gotten us here so far. But also, more to do today, thank you for those who have helped us the last few weeks. Just the preparations for another semester can be hectic and crazy, sometimes overwhelming. And then those first few days, can I get an amen for the front row, right? Those first few days can just be crazy, and they're fun, and they're exciting, and sometimes they're just straight overwhelming. So thank you for those for this last week who have fed us, prayed for us, encouraged us, been there. Thank you. And I really, really mean that. Thank you for those of us who have helped so far. I said last week that our greatest desire for our students is to follow Jesus. These are a couple of our banners. You see that over here on this one. Our greatest desire for our students is to follow Jesus. We've used that language because I've talked for the last couple of years about how we've tried to transition to the idea of discipleship and making disciples and really using that language as kind of what's out in front of us of how do we be a disciple of Jesus, and that we want our students to follow Jesus every day. Every day, with everything that they have, everywhere that God calls them, with everyone that God puts in their path, that following Jesus, that being a Christian means following Jesus, which entails being an everyday disciple. You're going to be a disciple of Jesus every day. And so what I've tried to do the last week, both in preparation for this morning, but really just at the beginning of the school year, what I've tried to think through is, where are we at in that process? Of learning a language of discipleship, which really can be kind of tedious. Where are we, really over the last few years, where are we this week at the first week of school? I've tried to process, you know, what's it mean for us the next few weeks? You know, those first few weeks of the semester are really important. And then really the fall has just a heavy weight to it. How are we this semester in following Jesus? And really, how are we in making disciples who make disciples? And really just how are we for the future? Where do we need to go the next 2 years? You know, where do we need to go the next 4 years? And just trying to think through not only teaching, but just students and who do we have here and what type of team are we building? And as I've tried to process that over the last week, I was really caught off guard by something. And that's what I want to share this morning. That something kind of hit me in the face. If you had those moments where you're trying to think through something, I know thinking can be difficult at times, but you're trying to think through something and all of a sudden you go, oh man, and it kind of hits you like a ton of bricks. Okay, I had one of those this morning. Not this morning, huh? That'd be funny. I had one of those this week, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. Here's what hit me, like a ton of bricks. It seems easy to be overwhelmed with following and underwhelmed with Jesus. For some reason, and maybe it's just me, and I'm just going to preach to me this morning. I got the microphone. Sorry. It seems to me to be easy to be overwhelmed with following and underwhelmed with Jesus. To be overwhelmed with being faithful, to be overwhelmed with being obedient, to be overwhelmed with being disciplined, to be overwhelmed with getting up and putting the right clothes on and getting to the right building at the right time. It seems easy at times, maybe not all of the time, but it seems easy at times to be overwhelmed with following and underwhelmed with the person of Jesus. Underwhelmed with the beauty of God in the flesh. Underwhelmed with the nature of a God who loves us through his Son. Have you been there? You ever walked in that street? Have you ever walked in that month or that year where you're just overwhelmed with following? And maybe it's following not Jesus. Maybe it's following the way of the world, following the other things of the world. But you're utterly underwhelmed with Jesus. This morning, it may sound a little bit cliche. I just want to talk a little bit about Jesus, if that's okay with everyone. And we're going to soak in an ancient hymn of sorts and maybe just for a few minutes, be a little overwhelmed at the person of Jesus. So I want to pray that really quick, and then we're going to dive in. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We want to be overwhelmed by you this morning. So may your spirit be alive to guide our thoughts. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. It's the name of the risen King. Everybody said, amen. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and flip to Colossians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, I'm sure you can figure it out. Pretty smart. You have a smartphone. Might be smarter than you. Just kidding. Mine is smarter than me most of the time. Colossians chapter 1. Mark read this text a minute ago. It really could be an ancient poem or hymn of sorts. And so when we're reading some of this, think less science, more story. I don't think we need to think as much as there's a treatise being made on this is the way that everything works, and these are the pretty pictures of science and experimentation that are happening here. I don't think we need to think that. I think we need to think more song, more story. We just need to be enamored with the picture that's being painted. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord from Colossians. What I want to do, and it's one of my favorite things to do, we're going to go back verse by verse, just unpack a few words. I'm going to be honest, I have very little application for you, if any. I just want you to look at Jesus for a while, okay? Here we go. Look at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God. What it says here is that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the visible image. He was something we could see of the invisible God, something that we can't. If you want a perfect photograph of God, if you want a perfect icon of God, you need to look at Jesus. Jesus is that picture. If you want to know God, you got to know Jesus. He's the exact representation, the exact presentation and picture and photograph of who God is. He's not just made in his likeness. He literally is him. I have a friend who says that all of the concepts of God become concrete in the person of Jesus. That all of the concepts of God become concrete in the person of Jesus. If I was to take a piece of paper and to draw a slightly curved check mark and to hold it up, most of you would go, oh yeah, that's the Nike logo. Or if I was to take a piece of paper and draw a really curved M, most of you, if I held up the piece of paper, would say, oh yeah, McDonald's. Well, those are logos made in the likeness of the actual perfect logo that if we were to drive to McDonald's, we would see. Or if some of you probably this morning were in Nike, that would be the perfect logo. Jesus is not like God. He is God. He is the perfect photograph of God. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He then says that he's the firstborn over all creation. Now, don't get too lost here. We kind of equate firstborn a little different than maybe they would have in the first century. This probably has more to do with position than it really does that Jesus was first. So firstborn doesn't always have to do with order, but really with status. In other words, Jesus has priority over all of creation. He is in the top position. Jesus gets priority over everything, which includes us, by the way. Jesus gets priority over all of our other pursuits. Prior just means before, right? If you have a pursuit that is prior to Jesus, we have a problem. Jesus gets priority over all of our pursuits. So that's one verse. Jesus is the perfect image of God. Jesus has priority over all things. Let's keep going. Look at verse 16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things. We get that phrase here that Mark said. All things have been created through him and for him. Look at those prepositions. In Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus, all things were created. By the way, Jesus is kind of a big deal, right? In Jesus, through Jesus, for Jesus, all things are created for him. Maybe this will help. Jesus is in the position. He's been postured to create all things. That in him, his position is all things. Jesus has the power for all things to be created through him. So not only is he in the position, he also has the power. By the way, if you've been watching the Olympics the last few weeks, just some incredible feats of power, right? Now, I get that nothing has been created the last few weeks. It's a different, slightly different type of power. But if you've watched the Olympics, there have been some just incredible feats of power or strength coming out of some of these athletes. You know, Michael Phelps, and just medal after medal after medal after medal. And whatever you think about his life outside of the pool, put the man in a pool, absolutely incredible, right? Strength and power and discipline. And yet, you line him up next to Jesus. That'd be fun, by the way. So you get Michael Phelps on the blocks and Jesus, and everyone's thinking, why is he wearing a robe? We're getting in a pool, you know, and they hit the gun, and everybody dives in, and Jesus just runs across the top, right? Jesus is like, hey, guys, I just thought the whole swimming thing doesn't really matter for me. You know, what incredible power Jesus has. Or you think about the speed. Like last night, we just kind of wiped in some of the relays, and I used to think at points I was maybe fast, and then you watch guys like Bolt, and you do the math on how fast they're running, like 100 meters. You're like, oh, I can't run like 1 meter that fast. Like, my reaction speed to go is not even that fast. You know, and Jesus gets in the blocks with them, and they're like wearing their spikes, and Jesus has got on sandals. Good luck running, bro. And so Jesus is standing there, and he just says, hey, I'll meet you at the end. And they're like, oh, he must be really humble. And the gun goes off, and Jesus is just standing at the other end. Like, Jesus just appears through walls, and he just goes places. And like, what incredible power does Jesus have that we can't even comprehend? Another one that I think is fascinating, there's a female lifter who broke an American record this week. It's for a lift called a snatch. Now, I'm going to try to explain it to you, and some of the boys could do a better job, but here's the general idea. Set up perfectly like this, right? You grab a bar, and you're going to stand up, and you're going to throw the bar over your head, and you're going to squat down, and you're going to catch it with your arms fully extended and stand up with it. Well, there's a girl that broke an American record this week. Her name is Morgan King. She snatched 183 pounds. Okay, that's me holding my Bible and all my stuff. Now, you might think that's not that heavy. She weighs 105 pounds. She weighs 105 pounds. And she took me laying on the ground, strapped to a bar, and just threw it over her head and stood up with it. What incredible power, right? And Jesus goes in the weightlifting room and goes, hey, it was storming outside, but I calmed it. It's okay. Right? Like, what incredible power that we can see on display in our humanness, but what incredible power Jesus has. Creation came through him. Jesus has more power than we will ever be able to comprehend. And look at the last one. All things are created for him. Jesus is in the position, he has the power, and Jesus is the purpose for which all things were created. We talk a lot about purpose. What's your purpose in life? What's the purpose of the world? What's the purpose amidst all of our suffering? His name is Jesus. He's the purpose of all of it. That's only two verses. Let's keep going. Look at verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So not only does Jesus have the position, the power, and the purpose, Jesus is also preeminent in all things. He's first. Not only should he be that, he just is. It's just how it goes. Jesus exists before things exist. That one's hard to wrestle with. Jesus exists before things exist. He's before all things. And in all things, Jesus holds together. Jesus is literally standing in the middle of all things going, it's okay, I've got it. I'm not saying that Jesus is in the thread that holding your shirt together. I don't think that way. But Jesus is literally standing amidst the universe going, it's okay, I got it. I got it. In the good and the bad, I got it. I'm going to pull it all together. I'm in the position. I got the power. I am the purpose. I've been preeminent the whole time. And I'm going to pull it all together. His name is Jesus. Let's keep going. Look at verse 18. We get thrown into the picture here. And he's the head, of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Well, good grief, I thought he already had supremacy in everything. Now he brings in the church. The supremacy of Jesus includes the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and that means our church too. He was the founder and he is the leader of his church. Not just this church, but every church, the church universal. And what we've already seen is that Jesus was before all things. He was the firstborn of all creation. But look at this. He is also the beginning and the firstborn of the resurrection. Did you get that? So Jesus paved the way in creation, and he has pointed us the way in resurrection. He's paved the way in creation, and he's pointed the way in resurrection. Said another way, here's how we can wrestle with this. Jesus is the source and sustainer of this church. He is the source and sustainer of his church. He is the past, he is the present, he is the future, and he leads his church with the position, power, purpose, preeminence, everything that God has given him. He is the perfect image of God, and he is leading his church. No ministry we have here trumps the work of Jesus in his church. And hopefully our ministries are yielding to that. No minister here, man, we're a bunch of ragamuffins. Don't know if y'all have met us yet, like, right? No minister here or any of you as ministers trumps the work of Jesus in and through us. And no mission we can come up with trumps the work of Jesus in his church. So not only is Jesus the Jesus of all things, of all creation, he's also the Jesus of the here and now in our church. He's leading us, guiding us, prompting us, drawing us toward him and sending us out into his world. Let's finish it up in verse 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness, not some of it, part of it, maybe the good stuff, all his fullness to dwell in him. And this is what Mark talked about a minute ago. And through him to reconcile all things. And later he says, by making peace through his blood. That's really hard for me to comprehend, that all of the fullness can be in Jesus. Anybody? He was a dude, the God-man. How in the world can all of the fullness of God be in him? And yet, everything that makes God God, what he just said here, is in Jesus. Everything that makes God who he is coming out in who Jesus is. Have you ever wondered how God responds to you in different times in your life? Like, how does God respond to us in different moments of our life, the good ones and the bad ones? Have you ever wondered that? Or maybe not just you, maybe the things going on in the world. How does God respond to all these things in the world? What does the God of the universe think about? What about our brokenness? How does God respond to us in our brokenness? I'm talking about deliberate, I chose this, I made a bad decision. How does God respond to us in our brokenness? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus with the woman at the well. How's God respond to you in your brokenness? Look at Jesus with the woman at the well. Look at Jesus and the adulterous woman later in John. How's God respond to you in your brokenness? Look at Jesus. How does God respond when we experience the loss of a loved one? God, you must be far from me. You didn't love me enough to, if you thought those things. How does God respond to us when we think those things? God, why weren't you here? Look at Jesus and look at the compassion of Jesus with Lazarus and his family. How does God respond to us when we lose someone we love? Look at Jesus. How does God respond to us when we're burdened by the weight of the things of the world, especially trying harder? I'm a try harder guy. Anybody try harder guy? If I can't figure it out, just try harder. You're going to figure it out. Anyway, I'm a try harder guy. I can figure it out. If Google can't tell me, somebody else can that's lived longer than Google, right? I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out. What do we do in those moments? Look at Jesus. What's he say? My yoke is light. My burden is light. Eugene Peterson translates that, walk in the unforced rhythms of grace. In those moments when we try harder, we look at Jesus and Jesus says, I have something light for you. I have an unforced rhythm of grace for you. And one that really is very difficult for us. How does God respond to us when we have our doubts? I'm talking about real doubts. I'm talking about this thing's not true. It's not real. Why in the world are we here? Why'd you get all dressed up? What do we do with real, tangible doubts? Look at Jesus. The resurrected Jesus walks into the room and they go, no, no. And he goes, yes, yes. Look, they're right here. At the end of Matthew 28, when the resurrected Jesus is about to issue what we call the Great Commission, what Matthew writes there in Matthew 28, it says that the resurrected Jesus is standing there. Do you know the next phrase? It's a little parenthetical statement there. Some doubted. What? Standing with the resurrected Jesus, but some doubted. You know what he says then? All authority has been given to me, and I'm with you to the end of the age. If you want to know how God responds to us in all of our seasons of life, we have to look at Jesus. Jesus is the perfect photograph of God that we've been given to look at to go, oh, okay. He loves me. He cares for me. I can keep walking. I can keep going. Let's look at the last two words. This idea of reconcile. All things have been reconciled to Christ and through Christ. Listened to a preacher this week. He said that the idea of reconcile means to make enemies into friends once again. To make enemies into friends once again. The idea of Jesus pulling all things together and reconciling all things together, that's happening in Jesus. God chose Jesus for all those things to happen. Jesus is standing in the middle of the process. And what you then get is the picture of that Jesus' blood binds together all of the brokenness of the world. All of it. That all the brokenness is healed and brought together and made whole. And that we begin to see the picture of what's coming in the end. By the way, side note, if we think that reconciliation was some afterthought, that we have a God in the Old Testament who hates and then he just made a choice eventually to love in Jesus, and so we have this, that's just not true. It's always been God's idea. Reconciliation has always been a part of the plan. Always. So look at this Jesus. Are you going to picture of this Jesus? The Jesus who is the perfect photograph of God. The Jesus who is in the place of priority. The Jesus who's in position to create all things. He has the power to create all things. Are you beginning to see the picture? Be overwhelmed by who this Jesus is. This is the Jesus we follow. Whether we're overwhelmed by him or not. So, this week, may we not trade the Jesus of all things for a world of other things. And this week, may we lean into the peace that's been offered in Jesus. And this week, may we follow this Jesus. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I want us to stand together. And what I've done is I've taken that section of Scripture and just inserted the name of Jesus. So if there are pronouns or if it says son, just inserted Jesus. I did my best not to change Scripture. Don't freak out. Just inserted Jesus. And what I want us to do after I pray, I want us to stand together, and I would really like if we read it out loud. I think it'd be great. I know. I'll read slow. Don't worry. I know I talk really fast. I try to slow down. It's hard. I'm all wound up. But we'll read it slow, and we'll read one slide at a time. And by the way, you're not reading an instruction manual. This is how you do right? We're reading words that are talking about Jesus. So if you have a little bit of enthusiasm, that will be super. So I want to pray for us. Then we're going to stand and read. And then we're done. I hope that this week you will not trade the Jesus of all things for a world of other things. And find space, hopefully, to be overwhelmed by this Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And thank you for the day and for the chance to gather as your people in the name of your Son, Jesus. And maybe be overwhelmed by who you are and what you've done for us that we don't deserve, we have never deserved, and we never will. But God, may we continue to live the life that you have offered us, following you with all that we have and never losing sight of the beauty of your Son. Father, may your Spirit be alive in us to change us and mold us and shape us, conform us into the image of your Son so that we may be your people here on this campus and in this community. Father, we love you so much. We praise you for the words you've given us in this text. And God, if anything's been said this morning that's from you and of you, may you sink it deep down inside of us. And God, if there's anything that's been said that's not from you, may you cast it away. Father, we love you so much. We're so eager to praise you. Thank you for your Son. It's the name of Jesus. Everyone said. All right, let's be standing. And we're going to try read this together. It'll be a fun exercise. All right, here we go. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything Jesus might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And the whole church said, Amen. Let's sing together.